I want to talk to you about the coming of the Lord. I was noticing in a book, and I just want to just kind of give you some of this book title. Part 4 in this book is Yearning for Redemption. Chapter 1, prologue is My Soul is Lovesick for God. Chapter 1, I await His coming every day. God will act for him who waits for him. That's part of the things he's writing. This chapter 1 is some of the things contained in it. With hope like this, we deserve to be redeemed. Did you yearn for the redemption? To bring the days of Christ. And so, waiting His coming. The effect of anticipating, speaking about Christ, and on he goes. In one chapter he writes, our generation will generate the redemption. Lord. Then he has signs of the redemption. You like that? Amen. You know who wrote it? Menachem Sneerson. An Orthodox Jew. An Orthodox Jew. He's dead now. But I'd substitute Christ. He wrote Messiah. You know that. I substitute because I was afraid you'd catch on too quick. I substitute Messiah for Christ. And he said this, and I want to just read it to you from one of the things he said. There's a verse that says, and this is quoting out of the Old Testament, of course. He wasn't a quote out of the New. So that you remember the day you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. Then he says, as understood by the sages, the word all indicates that the obligation to recall the Exodus will continue until the days of Messiah. It'll go till he comes. Amen. Now he's been dead for 12 years. And there's some of them saying, I've been trying to get that book, From Exile to Redemption, the name of it. I haven't been able to get it. I just got some parts of it. But they say that he is the Messiah. Some of them even deny that he's dead. But I can assure you that even though he waited 92 years to do it, he still died. Amen. But he was one of the most venerated, they call him a Rambam. Superior rabbi in the land. He was an Orthodox Jew. You know, the black hat, the beard, black coats, side curls, all that. That's what he was. But he was looking for redemption. I was thinking about that whenever I read that, and I saw in the book of Jude, and I'm getting into my message. You may not realize it. But the Bible said in Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh to 10,000 of these saints to execute judgment upon all, convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed in all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that'd be all right if we just took it back to Enoch, back to the days whenever he was a godly man. One day he looked at his son and saw his son that was born. And he named him Methuselah. And it meant when he's dead, it'll come. And he lived 969 years. Which shows us the Lord has long-suffered us for not willing that any should perish. But all might come to repentance. Hallelujah. But, whenever you read that, Jude said, these are they. It wasn't just back then. It's still coming. And his prophecy is still relevant. It's kind of like when Isaiah prophesied about the Christ being born of a virgin. Then he went into his wife. His wife bore a son. That was just a type of the fact that Jesus was coming. That's all. And so when he looked at that, And he said that, and I agree then with Mr. Menachem Schneerson. He said that all indicates an obligation to recall. Not all that Enoch said thousands of years ago, behold, the Lord cometh, it's still true today. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad of that. I hope you pray for me. I mean, pray for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you talk about the coming of the Lord, I want to speak some from the words of Paul, some from the words of Peter. They're interesting people. I have several notes here, but I really don't feel like following them, just like I have them written out, so I don't have them come out. But Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. Is the first church, as far as we know, that he wrote to. As far as we know, is the first church that he ever wrote to. His first letters that we know about. We know about it. He's written others, I'm sure, but that's the first letters that we have. And I got to thinking about that. You know, Paul wrote something, and I'll turn over to you in 2 Thessalonians and read it to you. Paul wrote something there in the second chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians. He said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together in Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, he's telling them, because Jesus is coming, that comes before the day of the Lord, the judgment and wrath. It seems like to me, by reading that, someone had come along and told this church that Paul had said in the spirit of prophecy that the Lord was the next thing they could look for was tribulation. They thought they were already in it. They were suffering so intensely. Peter wrote in Turkey to the five provinces there, to what's called Turkey now, and they were in intense persecution. Paul and Peter both had a revelation. But Paul was writing here, and he said, you don't get shook up because somebody tells you that I said that in the Spirit. Don't you take it that I taught that by word. I didn't. Someone evidently had written a spurious letter and signed Paul's hand to it and said, Paul, the apostle, this is what you're looking for. But Paul said, when he read that, I always thought about this when he got to that. He said that this salutation of Paul, which with mine own hand, which is a token of every epistle, so I write. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. In other words, he said, it ain't mine. Because he didn't say nothing about it. He didn't close it with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now I got to looking at all the letters that Paul wrote. Never wrote letter he wrote. Right toward the end, he'd say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Something like that. In fact, I'd always thought, I just had it in my mind, that Paul never wrote the book of Hebrews. I just had it in my mind he didn't. I was sure of it. And I'd say the writer said, I wouldn't give him any credit for it. I just didn't believe he did it. But after I got to look at the stats, I thought, well, I better check Hebrews. The last word just says, grace be with you all. Amen. Paul said, when I put that there, you know it's authentic. It's what I've had to say. Amen. Praise God. I hope that isn't wearing you out. I don't mean to wear you out. I really don't. But I'm trying to get something to you. And, I want to preach from the book of Jude. And I want to, from my text, beloved, the third verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Paul said it something like that in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. In other words, as long as it agrees with what I've taught you. Well, what did you teach us, Paul? What did you say? Can you tell me? Can you explain it to me? Well, in a minute I can. Well, one day this got a hold of me. I've been seeking God for some time, and I've preached on this a lot of times. And I preached on faithfulness. That's all right. Preached on holiness. That's all right. But that wasn't the faith. It's all a part of it. But it wasn't the faith. And I got to looking for what had been that faith which was once delivered to the saints. And the reason why he wrote that is because he starts to tell us how apostates are going to come in and cause things to be turned around. For you can't believe what's being told. He gives us three examples. One was, the Bible said, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Cain was the one that was involved in stopping the means of salvation. Balaam was involved in stopping the march of salvation. And Korah was involved in stopping the message and the ministry of salvation. Hallelujah. Great God. One was by the blood. That's the only way to be saved. That's the only means. Hallelujah. The other is to go forward. You keep marching forward. And the last is to remember that God does call certain men for certain jobs. And God does give them a message. And it's a message of holiness. And you don't be, you're not, he said, we're all holy. You take too much upon you. But Peter will tell you that one of the things that involves the coming of the Lord is a holy life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that have preached the coming of the Lord, but they don't really. Oh, we have to preach it to you. Hallelujah. The faith was once delivered to the saints. When I look at this, and I want to read certain scriptures, and really I never was so actually distraught in a way. Feel the presence of the Lord and yet scared to death. Afraid I'll not get into this right. I don't know how to explain it to you. But I let me go this way. I spoke about that revelation. Paul had a revelation. And how important it was. I'll just read it to you. I've got it typed out here. Paul wrote and said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is reading from Ephesians 3:1-11. For the Gentiles, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to you, Lord, how by revelation, which he made known unto me, the mystery, as I wrote afore, in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages is not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. For if I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, him less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things for Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What Paul said here, and if you had your Bibles reading, and I should have let you be reading it because it helped. But he said it was a revelation, it was a mystery. It was something that nobody else had taught. Peter was the one that preached the first message to the Gentile church. They received the Holy Ghost. They received baptism. These things. And when he rehearsed it to the brethren, they said, God hath granted unto the Gentiles repentance unto life also. They could see that. But to put them on the same level as the Jew, not so. But Paul saw. And Paul had a revelation of that. This mystery. And he said how that these Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. That's the reason why I had to withstand Peter to the face. Because Peter didn't have the revelation on that. He didn't understand that. He could see how they could be saved. But they had to be at a lower level than the Jews. That's the way it was. So he had a mystery there that was revealed to him. But I love that a mystery that was revealed to Peter in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 15. Wherein you greatly rejoice. 6 through 15, rather. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and honor and glory after appearing, that the same word is translated in Revelation 1:1, Revelation, the uncovering, the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation, not talking about you being saved, is right to save people. That word is also translated deliver. Huh? Deliver. Receiving the deliverance of your souls. Wherein few, that is 8 souls are saved. And 70 souls went down to Egypt. And 276 souls is on board the ship. The entire man. Hallelujah. He said, if you can believe it, the deliverance of you from this present world, even though you're under much persecution and trial, you'll rejoice in joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Hallelujah. Can I tell you the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a thing of joy to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the glory that we think about. What a glorious thing is to realize Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. What a wonderful thought. And so he said that that the deliverance of your soul, of which the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Look at that. Think about that glory. I read in the book of Peter, and I'll turn back over to it when I wrote a note there, Titus at 2:13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know so because I'm not an educated man, but I read where different ones said that literally what he said there in the Greek was, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of a great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't doubt that isn't right, because the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of glory. I know his is in there, but it's italicized. What a wonderful thing it's going to be when he comes. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like that. And so it says the great glory, this glory that should follow. And to whom is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. My God. Hallelujah. I heard that preached for people being saved. The angels rejoiced over the redemption by the blood. But there's nothing like the angels are excited about in heaven tonight, like the excitement that Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. That's what they want to see. That's what they want to be a part of. That's what they want to be a look and behold. They know He's coming again. And they're excited. They want to see that happen. Hallelujah. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end of the grace that it be brought to you at the revelation and appearing of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves after the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, all your ways of life. You see, whenever we talk about the coming of the Lord, amen, it means that He expects us to realize we're different. We're separate ourselves from this world. We're prepared for something that is to come to the Lord. We're willing to be different because we feel like we've got a message. There's a message being given out at Jerusalem. Every morning there are two men. I don't know if the same men, I don't know that. But they go down to the wailing wall to pray. After praying, they walk back the streets of Jerusalem crying out. I think it's about 8 o'clock every morning. There's men walking up the streets of Jerusalem crying, "The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming." I got a picture of two those men, like them, you know, these rabbis walking the streets over in the East Asian country, strengthening the Jewish community. They don't look like anybody else there. But what are they doing over there? They feel they have a message for their fellow Jews. And they want the world to know they believe the Messiah is coming. I'll tell you, if they can believe that in their way they are, and they missed Him altogether the first time, what should you and I be like? Huh? Looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Paul said, or Peter said, this was a revelation that came to our prophets of old. You know, when you really think about it, the birth of Christ, where can you find it? You'll find it in Isaiah, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." You'll find it in Jeremiah, "A woman shall encompass a man." You'll find it in Micah, where it talks about Bethlehem, where He'll be born. But as far as the birth of Christ, there's a lot of things went with that. There wasn't very much about that. But the prophets of old talked about His coming. And they put it together with His judgment. But according to the way I read it here, amen, the judgment and the coming is one thing and it's another. You see, when Peter wrote about this, Peter knew that he was not going to live to see that probably. For in 2 Peter he said, "I must shortly put off this body." Hallelujah. But when Paul was writing to the book in Thessalonians, when he was writing it down, he was writing to that first church, the early church. It wasn't because of the fact that he didn't know what he was talking about, brethren. He knew what he was talking about. He'd been preaching about 16 to 18 years. He knew what he was talking about. And that church that was so early and just getting his feet on the ground, one of the first things he taught them is Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, in fact, if nobody wants to go along with us, Maranatha, the Lord is coming. It don't change a bit of things in the world. The Lord is coming. Well, I wish I could get into this. I'm not, but I'm trying to. I'm trying to tell you that this coming of the Lord teaches us that we should live holy. Amen. I'll tell you something else. We know we can argue about it. We can be pro or con. We can be post, pre, or
be it or whatever you ought to be. But I want to tell you something. The man that wrote the book of Revelation, when he got down to the very end, he said, this was the words of the Lord. He said, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Verse 70 of that same chapter. And the spirit of the bride say, come. There's something about us. Hallelujah. Now when the Holy Ghost gets in us, we can't help but look for the Lord to come. Did you know that? Brother Holden's here. I can't take his first name, but I'll think of it in a minute. Amen. But anyway, Brother Holden's here with us. Now his grandpa and I, we differed on this big time. Now we differed on it. And he told me one time, he said, Charles, that's the difference between you and the reason why other people are worldly is because they believe the Lord's coming. That's what he said. He told me that. But he's preaching for me one night. The Holy Ghost moved. We was in tent revival. He's holding me a revival. And I mean, we was having a good one, Brother Dawson. You know, he's a good man. Yeah. We was having a revival. He was holding a revival for me. And he was just to preach it away. You know how Bob could get when he got to sweating? And he shake down what curls he had left down in his face, you know? He's shaking his head. He used to pastor here. Amen. You know how he was. Amen. He got to shaking his head. Amen. And he said, and the Holy Ghost is all over him. I mean, he's sweating, shaking his head, his eyes bugging. He said, my God, the Lord's in this place. And the Lord can come any time. And I said, amen. He looked at me and thought, uh-oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, if the Spirit and the bride got together on that. And they said, come. Once that feeling came over him, we didn't argue no more. We were in the same boat together. Jesus is coming again. Jesus could come anytime. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that is heareth say, come. You know what? Now where do we put that? We put that right back to the first part of the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Hallelujah. Now, I wouldn't say that Brother Bob was here because, you know, I wouldn't embarrass him for nothing in the world. But I just say, Brother Bob, you got so close to heaven that night that you heard what the Spirit was saying. Hallelujah. Of course, it's my side we're arguing for. You understand that, don't you? But then listen to this. And let him that is thirst come. I believe that the preaching of the coming of the Lord will bring revival. Hallelujah. I believe it'll come bring revival. It brought revival back in the days when I was young. Whenever we had all these healing evangelists going around over the country preaching and telling us the Lord was coming. Coming. The Lord was coming. I say, and the thing that undermined us was the fact that they got to fussing among themselves over certain little things, and we lost sight that the Lord is coming. But the Bible says, if you listen to what it says, I come quickly, and you realize the Spirit of the Bride. You know what I think about my loved ones lost? I want to sing, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. But when I think about that glorious appearing, that appearing of His glory, hallelujah, when I think about that, I say like John said, whenever he said to him, amen, he that testifies these things, saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Our God is trustworthy. You can trust me to come quickly. And John said, even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus. John didn't argue around with it. He didn't say, let's go back to the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's go back to this chapter. He didn't say, let's go back to that chapter. When he said, the Lord said, he that testifies these things, saith, surely I come quickly. He said, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm out on this island. I'm out of this place, these reptiles, rocks, barren, desolate. Amen. I've got a sea between me and the people I love. But if you come, those in Ephesus would be caught up. Amen. I'd be caught up. Hallelujah. There'd be no more sea. Nothing to separate us any longer. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something tonight. If the Lord was to come tonight, there'd be no more death to separate us.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Suddenly, we be together again. And the Bible said when he said that, and let him that thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I say again that the preaching of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a formula. Amen. When you do it and live right, it's a formula. Amen. For revival. They tell me that Revelation was written before First John. First John, the 3rd chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth him not, because he knew us not. Amen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. And listen to these next words. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Hallelujah. That's my sister coming in late. Some of my family, just let them. They'll make it all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. I'm talking about becoming the Lord and how they're from Longview, Texas. Took a little longer to get here. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is. And he said, so John said that. The Bible said, Paul said, keep your tradition. And the Bible said, earnestly contend for the faith. It'll be something that you won't want to. There'll be some preaching it that don't believe it. They'll show it. You'll find that in types and shadows in the Old Testament. Those 50 prophets that said the Lord's going to take your master today, they prophesied right, but they didn't believe it. Hallelujah. Huh? Praise God. But let me tell you, I said that the looking for the coming of the Lord will make you want to live holy. He'll make you want to live right. Can I read you a scripture that got a hold of me when I was just a very young man? Sat in a little office up at Brandsville, Missouri. And I was looking out there one day, and this ain't on my notes, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Amen. I was sitting one day reading. And I was looking at this scripture, and I read this. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. And another, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth on. But let every man take heed how he built on. For no other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man what work it shall be. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall suffer, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I remember reading that. Closing my Bible, sitting looking out the window there at the little old study, out across the sage grass up there. I remember tears coming to my eyes as I realized, amen, it looked like to me that there was two kinds in this world. Those that's going to suffer a great loss, yet be saved, so is the fire. And I remember how the Bible said, amen, how when the Bible tells us we'd exhort one another, even encourage one another about the coming of the Lord. And how that the Lord to tell us that it would there be a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fire indignation. Oh God! I remember the virgins divided. The servants that were divided. Amen. And I thought about that. Then I thought of another scripture, and I didn't think of it that day, but I'm thinking of it now. And I suppose I could read it to you in Revelation 20:4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the Word of God. Look at that. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. That's one group. Judgment was given them. And I saw souls that were beheaded. And here the Bible says, if it didn't work abide, which that's built on, he shall receive a reward. Amen. Reward. I want to tell you, the Bible says, when thy judgment's in the earth, then the inhabitants will learn righteousness. Hallelujah. There is a group of people, I feel like, that one of these days when the Lord catches us away,
They have denied the Bible. They have said it don't mean this. It don't mean that. It's not for us today. But one of these days, they're going to do like I did. They're going to close the book. And they're going to realize that mama's gone or sister's gone or somebody else is gone. And they're going to close the book and say, my God, the word of the Lord is right after all. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation there in the 7th chapter. Amen. In the 5th chapter, rather. I believe, well, 6th chapter. I'll get it right in a minute. Amen. They were gave their lives for the word of God and the testimony which they held. Amen. John the Revelator, when he said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto himself to him to show his servants, amen, things that must shortly come to pass, said and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Amen. The Bible said he bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. All things which he saw. Amen. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those sacred therein, for the time is at hand. Hallelujah. Behold, I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you listening? I don't want you to disagree with me just to be disagreeable. But if you disagree with me because you don't understand it, you don't see it, that's all right. I'm not against that. But I'm telling you, if I understand the book right, brother, I want to be ready. And when it comes, you say, Brother Charles, there's only one resurrection. That's what that first group thought that Paul wrote about, that thought the revelation passed already. Because those saints that rose in Jesus, they said the revelation's already over with. The catching away, the rapture's already over with. I didn't say the right word, did I? Amen. But anyway, that's what they thought. But Paul tells us, blessed is holy, or John says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that came up when Jesus came out of the grave. Blessed and holy is he, him that cometh. It's just one resurrection, but it may be more than one translation. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. But no matter how you see it, my friend, I want you to know Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Oh, I believe that. I believe that. And Paul wrote to this young church. I've been trying to get that all night. I keep saying it. And he told them. Oh, God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, verse chapter 1, verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, Jesus is coming. It makes all the difference in the world. Did you know that? Amen. Said you received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your things, knowing that in heaven you have a better and enduring substance. Hallelujah. When they came and robbed them and emptied their house, they smiled and said, Jesus is coming. What difference does it make? Jesus is coming. I thought this evening how I think about things I'd like to do. I'd like to have the money to be able to pay all my kids' debts off and put them in the nice home. I'm looking for the day that my son will get saved. I'd like to, he's walked for years now. You know, I had no way. I'd like him to get saved. I'd like to be able to take him downtown and I'll let him know just that he's helping Daddy and have him pick out a brand new pickup just like he thinks he'd like for Daddy. And I dream about that and just have it delivered to his house. I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that. But most of all, I'd like to leave down a witness that I really believe what I preached, that Jesus is coming. Amen. I'd like to make them happy. I'd like to make them contented. But this church took joy for the spoil in earth, but more than that in heaven, you have a better and enduring substance. Amen. Praise God. They said you received much affliction so that with you were examples. And all that believe in Macedonia, to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad.
so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of enemy we have in you. How you turn to God from the idols to serve the living and true God. And listen to this. And to wait for his son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to the first Corinthians, to the Corinthian church, and he talked about them how spiritual they were. They come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing. That's what the early churches. I'm talking about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The early church believed Jesus was coming in their lifetime. In this church, they believed it so strong that some quit working, just waiting for the Lord to come. Paul told them to work, labor with his own hands. Give to him that need, you know. But they just quit. And some thought because some of them was beginning to die that they must have missed it. They was having such trials that we must have missed the coming of the Lord because people are dying. He taught it so strong that they thought Jesus had come. There'd never be nobody die. They'd just go to heaven all at one time. Hallelujah. He never apologized for that. Did you know that? He never apologized for teaching that. I'm thinking about today, this is my mind over here praying. And I thought about almost 100 years ago, just close to 100 years ago, it probably was 100 years ago. Yes, it was. There was a man by the name of Green, moved from Michigan down to Thayer, Missouri. He was a school teacher, but he was a man that was hungry at the things of God. About 1907, 6 or 7, the power of God began to fall in Thayer, Missouri. People came and set up a tent and the Holy Ghost fell. People were baptized with the Holy Ghost. He saw that it was Bible. He saw that was Bible. He accepted the message. They had people raised from the dead. It's just a fact. Amen. There's Brother Green's son, old Brother Vernon Green, that's Brother Gerald Green's daddy, told me when he was a boy, 7 years old, 1907, they would go up Pentecost Hill and they'd hear angelic music in the air up over that. Hallelujah. Wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You know what he told me? He said, Brother Barnett, he said, at that time, we were all looking for the coming of the Lord. They had revival. They had revival. People were so sure the Lord was going to come that they would build their fences and use green post oak or a green blackjack or green red oak. Just whatever post they could get. They said it'll last till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Green looked at it a little different. He read where the Bible said, occupy till I come. He got ready to build a barn. He got ready to build a barn, and he built that barn. And one of the guys that helped him,